And those of you joining us on podcast, YouTube, what else was there? YouTube, Facebook, ESPN, Disney Channel. Thank you for joining us. We're so glad that you're here. It's an exciting day to, you know, we've been having some great Jesus meetings at Camp Hallsville, but to come back to the church facility today, wow, how exciting this is. And we're excited because Jesus is so real, and he's manifesting his power and his presence during this season. I know this is, I'm not showing any disrespect for anybody that's been sick or for anybody that's died. You know, we've had not anybody I know of in our church, but, you know, there's all kind of statistics. And, you know, we're not being insensitive about that. But as believers, you know, it's our joy to receive the joy of the Lord. It's our joy to receive the peace of the Lord and the love of the Lord, the power of the Lord during all seasons. And there's a whole lot in Scripture that points to that. And part of what this series is about, and if you're just joining us on this series, this is the badge of authority. And it's talking about our spiritual authority that we have in Jesus Christ. And this is a game changer. And it really presents the truth that when Jesus died on the cross, his finished works paid for us to have authority over the powers and the works of darkness. Not because of our particular gifting or our personality or our will, our strength, not anything having to do with our flesh, but that he won the great victory. And the Bible's clear that he defeated the enemy. And so the enemy is a defeated, deceiving, lying devil. All right? That's what he is. And the Bible's real clear that Jesus took a lot of that power away. And so the enemy is still operating on earth, but he's a defeated foe. And we as believers get the opportunity to get in on the victory of Jesus, the momentum from the cross, the victory of Jesus. And we get to enforce, I describe it like heavenly policemen, we have the badge of authority to enforce the victory that Jesus won. And so just as Jesus went about looking for those and helping those that were harassed or distressed by the powers of darkness, we get that opportunity now. And not only in our own life, and it's true for your own life, but it's also true that we go as rescue rangers and help others, and we spread the good news. We spread the power and the ministry and the love of the kingdom. And so this is so exciting. And when people recognize this, that this is part of what Jesus paid for you, and we begin to operate in the authority of Jesus, like I said, it's not our own. In the authority of Jesus, we have his badge of authority to say what he says and to do what he does and to minister his love to the unlovely. It's the ministry of reconciliation. Then I want to tell you, it's exciting living. And I know this has been a tough season, not just for our country, but for the world. But I want to tell you, in the midst of this, he makes himself known. And, you know, this is why I say that we're living in exciting times. And in some ways, I've enjoyed a little more flexibility in schedule. And it's been a lot of fun for me to have the beautiful blonde at home. And to be able to flirt with her live all day, that's been a lot of fun. And every now and then, the office door closes. And I know she's on a video conference, and I'm not supposed to go in there. It happened one time. I'd like to tell you about that, but that's for another sermon. But the deal is that I've enjoyed the journey. And I don't mean that disrespectfully in any way. This is a lifestyle, a heartbeat for me. And this series, The Badge of Authority, and it goes back for a few weeks. I think this is part three. So if you haven't caught us, go back and catch up. I can't go back, or I'll preach the same thing over and over again. We'll never make any progress. Some people accuse me of that anyway. But the deal is that this is a game changer. When you recognize that your identity is in the Lord and not in your failure, when you recognize that your identity is in the forgiveness of the Lord and not your sin, then it makes a tremendous difference. And we have access to His joy. Now, I want to explain something about this because this does do with some spiritual warfare, exercising our authority in Christ. The people that emphasize spiritual warfare have a little bit of a problem with me, and it doesn't bother me. I promise you it doesn't. But my emphasis in this is that it's by faith that we receive, and it's by faith that we exercise the words and the works of Jesus. It's not by our works. And sometimes the spiritual warfare folk want to take it too far in my book, where that, you know, if we pray hard enough, long enough, and we get more and more people to pray, that God's got to do something or the enemy's got to leave. And let me just announce something. You can't make God do anything. Okay, and the spiritual world is not affected by the volume of your voice. The spiritual world is not affected by the intensity of your emotion, because there are segments that actually kind of present and teach that if you get up to a certain level of emotion, that this is what defeats the enemy. No, no, 1,000 times no. Authority is not based on your volume or your intensity. It's not surely not based on your flesh works. We don't work ourselves into victory. Jesus has won the victory for us. It's by faith we receive it, and it's by faith that we speak it and decree it. And, you know, the enemy knows whether you know your authority in Christ. I don't know quite how to explain that, but it's obvious in Scripture. They recognized Jesus' authority. The demons did. The powers of darkness did. They recognized Paul's authority, spiritual authority in Jesus. And when there were some other people that were saying the name of Jesus, but they didn't know the authority of Jesus, didn't know Him, then they recognized that, and there were some repercussions. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so this is part of what we're learning with our badge of authority, is learn who we are in Christ and what Jesus has done for us. Now, let me explain a few things about exercising spiritual authority. We're learners. I do not walk in this perfectly. Right. I don't know anyone who does walk in it perfectly. Some people on TV say they do. I don't believe they do. Okay, because we all wear this stuff right here. And we actually war against our own flesh. The Bible describes that there is sin in your flesh. And flesh just wants to get in the way and take charge sometime. Okay, and so that's something we have to be aware of and alert to. And we have to submit our flesh to the Lord and to His Word. And so that's a battle in itself. But what I'm trying to share with you is that there are times that we don't win every battle. Amen. You're not looking at a person that wins every battle. And sometimes even when we win a battle, we don't always come out without a bruise. Sometimes we take a blow while even when we win. I'll never forget in ball, there was an exercise that they introduced, and it was with these, they called them war sticks or battle sticks, and they had cushion on each end, and it was kind of like a rod with cushions on each end, and they put us on the mat, and you had an opponent, and they blew the whistle, and you were just supposed to whoop each other, okay, with this battle club that they called it, and you were just to whoop each other, and they blew the whistle when there was an obvious winner. Well, I won my battle, but I came out with a shiner that was just absolutely, it was worth taking pictures of. But nobody on Hall's Hill would believe I won because I suffered a blow. I won, but I came out with a blow. Do you understand? And so sometimes even when we win a battle, we come out with a blow. Amen? And so understand that that happens, and we don't win every battle, but this is what I'm telling you, and this is why this series is a game changer when people recognize who they are in Christ, their spiritual authority. Because when you begin to fight back, you win more often than you used to. And when you begin to resist the enemy, submit to God, and resist the enemy, more and more often, your percentage of winning increases as you put the enemy on the run. And so this is not religious theory. This is Bible fact. This is Bible truth. And He won the victory for us to exercise the victory, not only in our own. Is there anyone out there that would love to experience more of the victory of Christ in their life? Well, then this series is for you. So please go back and catch up. And you know what? We're learners. I don't know it all. I've learned some things. I'm still learning. And so you join with us and let's practice learning. So one of the most important things, I think, let me qualify something else, okay? You don't, and this has to do with some of the spiritual warfare, folk, but you don't fight, you don't resist the enemy in the flesh. It's not by your emotions. It's not by your will. Some people have a very strong will. It's not by your will. The Bible says even the strongest of the strong will get weak, okay? So you try to battle or resist the enemy in your flesh, you're going to get weak in a hurry. As a matter of fact, I get to minister to pastors who experience burnout. Burnout comes when you try to operate the works of God in your own flesh. Because when you operate the works of God in the Spirit, then He is refreshing you and renewing you. And it's by His strength and not your strength. Do you see a difference? Okay. Another thing that happens is that sometimes if you try to battle or try to win this in your own strength, that you will experience a blown fuse. I'm telling you, humans can experience a blown fuse. And that just it's kind of like just a breakdown is what it's like. And so I'm trying to tell you that burnout or a breakdown can happen if you try to do this on your own. It's not by us. It's not by our strength. It's by the Lord's strength. Not by my might or by my power, but by His Spirit, says the Lord. And so it's by the Lord and of the Lord. So I needed to kind of kick that out to you. I want you to have an understanding of that. So this message on spiritual authority is vital for those who want to progress and go on with the Lord. There are people who have decided that they've received Christ and they're just going to sit and coast, and whatever the enemy throws their way or whatever the world brings their way or whatever their flesh says to do, they're just going to coast right on into heaven. But Jesus paid a high price for you, your victory, your salvation, and in that salvation is your victory. And there's a whole lot more victory for us to walk in than what we're experiencing. This is why that we want to operate in this series, okay? So one of the things that's obvious to me, and I'm not speaking any condemnation on anybody. I hope you understand that. I'm trying to help you. I don't try to make pretty sermons or rah-rah sermons. I want to try to help you as much as I can by the time that we have. Something that you can take with a handle on it and go out and operate in, apply to your life. But this is very, very important for you to understand. And I guess the way I want to say it is, you know, a high percentage of the body of Christ that I get to visit with, get to talk to, get to minister to, have a defeated mindset. I'm just telling you. I minister to pastors, and you know what? It can happen to a pastor. Now, I love pastors. I minister to pastors. I cover pastors. I don't ever reveal anything personal about a pastor. I may say some things in general, but I never name the town or name the person, all right? And, you know, even with our own pastors, my part is to cover and to bless them. We have an amazing staff. But the thing is that even pastors have, a lot of times, we can just fall into, because we put on our pantalones, just like you do, and we can fall into a defeated mindset. Because you got the flesh, you got the world, you got the devil, okay? You got your own computer up here that hasn't been, all of it hasn't been reprogrammed, right? And so you can fall into old patterns and old memories, and things can happen, and you can have a defeated mindset. It's my joy to get to minister to pastors. I love them. I love shepherds, and I get to minister to pastors and shepherds, and I get to minister to sheep. But I am telling you that a high percentage of the body of Christ has a defeated mindset. And if your mindset is already defeated, you're not going to have very many victories in your journey. Okay. The reason I recognize this, it may be I may have a gift of discernment, I think I probably do, but it's easy to recognize by what comes out of our mouth where our mindset is. And let me just share real bluntly that if you have negative talk, you have a defeated mindset. That's just automatic. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so when you open your mouth long enough, you're going to reveal where your heart is. And so this is very, very important for us to understand. And I'm going to say it like this, that, and this is an important principle, and we're at a scripture. I love the word. You're going to love this scripture. But authority is exercised by faith through our words. It's through the power of words. Now, we ought to understand this because even authority here on earth operates the same way. When your boss says that I want this done, then that's all that should need to be said. He shouldn't have to come and beg. He shouldn't have to come and look over your shoulder. He shouldn't have to try to talk you into it. He shouldn't try to have to plead. You understand? And so even as a parent, let's get it in the realm of parenting, because that's a form of shepherding, being a shepherd, is that, you know what? We need to have such a communication and such a respect and discipline that we can speak a word to one of our children, to one of our kiddos, one of our teens, and they do it immediately. You say, oh, that's expecting a little too much. No, this could save their life one day. There's dangerous situations that come up that they need to respond immediately to, and you shouldn't get into the court of reasoning. Well, why should I get out of the street? Why should I not make this right turn right now? Do you understand what I'm saying? And so even with parenting, and it's okay to be a friend to your kiddos, but you got to be a parent first, because your primary goal is to train them and to raise them and develop them into responsible adults. And so this is a part of our calling. But authority is exercised through our words, the power of words. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:13. Yet we have the same spirit of faith as he had who wrote, I have believed, and therefore I have spoken. Say, well, that was Old Testament. Yeah, it was, but they're quoting it in the New Testament, and look what he says. We too believe, and therefore we speak. Now, that's what, let's say what God says. I covered this in a former sermon, just a sermon ago, about the mulberry tree, when Jesus pointed out the mulberry tree and said, if you have faith just even the size of a grain of mustard, the smallest seed, it's not the size of the faith, it's utilizing the faith that God's given you, and we all have that measure of faith. You have the measure seed of faith to operate in victory. And he said, if you will use that faith, that size of faith that I've given you, and you will speak to this mulberry tree that has immense roots, because some of the things we deal with have roots in our life, am I right? They can go way back. Well, Jesus said, you speak to this mulberry tree and tell it to be taken up and thrown into the sea, and it will. And so let's say what God says about the mulberry trees that come into our life. And this is why that we're not going to do this unless we have a revelation of who we are in Christ Jesus. The Bible says we're joint heirs. The Bible says we're overcomers. The Bible says that he paid the price for us to be more than conquerors. And so that means that we're not victims. We're victors. You say, well, Papa T, my report card doesn't say that I'm in victory. Well, this is what Bible says. This is what Jesus has done. And the more that we practice our position of faith, that we are who God says that we are, and we say what God says we are. You see that in verse 13? We believe, therefore we speak. I want to tell you, power and authority is released by our speaking, by our believing and our speaking. It's possible to speak and not believe. All that does is produce confusion. God didn't make us to be parrots. It's possible to say the right thing and not agree with it in your heart. He's talking about submitting to the Lord and believing first and then speaking what your heart really agrees with Jesus about, and there's power and agreement on that. Amen. Okay. For example, in this season that we're going through, Jesus says in the Word of God that he has given us his joy. He's given us his joy, that our joy may be overflowing or complete in us. And he's given us his peace. And he said, not the world peace, but the peace that I am, that I give. It's my peace that I give to you. And so the Bible says that he's given us his joy and his peace and his love and his power. And he's promised us his presence. This is what I'm saying during this season of corn virus, is that there's good news, because he is risen. And because he's risen, everything that he said and everything that he is available and to be applied by us. He's paid the price for it. He's risen. And so there's divine protection. as a part of His blessing and a part of His gift to us, there's divine protection in Psalm 91. I've had to encourage some leadership to read Psalm 91 and the 23rd Psalm every day, just to get this into their system. And so let me just share with you right quick about Psalm 91, because there's some specific things there that you need to practice. And for example, we don't recognize and experience the benefits of Psalm 91 unless we're practicing verse 1 and 2. If we don't practice verse 1 and 2, we don't recognize it and walk in it. Well, I nearly got knocked down with amens on that, but that's true. Psalm 91, verse 1 says, "He who dwells," put your name in there. "You dwell in the shelter of the Most High." You will, and to dwell means to sit down. It means to abide. Isn't that interesting? Because Jesus said some words about abiding. But it means to sit down and abide, not just visit on Sunday morning. If the only time you try to enjoy the Lord's presence is on Sunday morning, I'm so glad you are, but that cannot be enough. If the only time you try to enjoy the Lord's presence is in a 10-minute devotional every day, well, thank God that you do that, but that's not enough. That should be the starter gun. That should be the starting line, but that cannot be all of it. Okay? "He who dwells, he who sits down in the shelter of the Most High will remain secure and rest." Boy, does that sound like peace? Does secure, does that sound like stable? "Rest in the shadow of the Almighty." And then verse 2 says this, "And I will speak what I believe, what I know to be true about the Lord and His word and in His presence. I will speak, I will say." See, this is very, very important in your authority, is for you to speak what you believe. He says, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress." So you're confessing with your mouth what God says in His word. "And my God, in whom I trust, with great confidence on whom I rely." So you're confessing that I'm relying on the Lord and not on man. Not, hey, thank God for doctors, thank God for science. But your dependence cannot be science first or doctors first. It's got to be Jesus. And then in verse 3, he says, "He will save you from the trap of the fowler." Does that sound good news? "He will cover you and completely protect you with His wings, under His pinions. And under His wings you'll find refuge. His faithfulness." See, our protection is not based on our faithfulness. It's based on His. That is great news. All right. Let me jump to verse 10. Because, see, this applies to the corn virus season. And look what it says in verse 10. We practice verse 1 and 2. We practice His presence and we speak what He is and what He says. And in verse 10 he says, "No evil will befall you." You say, "Well, Brother Tim, that's not very personal." How about this one? "Nor will any plague," well, you can put corn virus right there. "Nor will corn virus come near your tent." Now, I want to tell you, that's good news. And I want to tell you, that's Bible. And so, are we going to believe Bible? Or are we going to believe NBC? I want to tell you, I'm not coming against NBC, but your view of NBC needs to be nothing but Christ. I'm not against ABC, but your view of ABC means to always believe Christ. I'm not against CBS, but your view of CBS needs to be Christ's blood saves. I'm not against CNN. That's a little bit of a stretch. But Christ negates negativity. All right, I'm going to stop right there. Okay. All right, but you understand, this needs to be our view. We need to have a Bible view and not a news media view. We need to have a Jesus, Dr. Jesus view, and not a Dr. Death view. And so the question comes up like this right here. And for example, in Psalms 23, there's so many benefits to enjoying our shepherd. "The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me, He guides me, He feeds me. He's my shepherd. I have no need in my life. I have no want." Now, I want to tell you, it's beautiful to enjoy your shepherd. Let me announce this to everybody. If you're not enjoying your shepherd, you cannot enjoy your journey. And boy, this is a thing for my life. I've been there. I have lived here. Matter of fact, I don't just practice this on Sunday. I want to tell you, this is where I live. I've got to live here because I've got to go forward. And so, to your encouragement, I'm encouraging you that if you're not receiving the rest, the peace, the anointing of the Holy Spirit from Jesus on your head, that if your cup is not running over with thanksgiving, if you're not recognizing that the blessing of His loving kindness, of His mercy, of His goodness is following you wherever you go in your journey, then I want to tell you, you need to practice following the shepherd closely. You see, one of the new things I got from Psalm 23 the other day was this, is that when we follow Him closely, we're close for Him to make us lay down in green pastures. We're close for Him to bring us to peaceful waters. We're close for Him to restore and minister refreshing and renewing to our soul. We're close for Him to use the rod to protect us and defend us, and to use His staff to guide us closer to Himself and to keep us from the poison weeds. See, a lot of people want to follow Jesus from afar. It doesn't work that way. You don't recognize and receive the benefits from following Him from afar. You know, they want to just stay in, just in sight of Him, so that if the wolves attack, they can holler for help and get rescued. And I want to tell you, He will. But I want to tell you, we miss out on a whole lot. You see, His heart and His desire in Psalm 23 reveals that He wants us to follow Him closely, close to the shepherd. Are you getting it? And so that we can receive all that He has for us and what He wants for us, not from a distance. You can't walk with the Lord from a distance. Okay? Now, if this offends you, please forgive me. But I've had to ask a few pastors in other places. I know that there's been a shortage of paper products during this season, but I didn't know there was a shortage of Jesus joy. Is heaven bankrupt during this? Oh? You mean there's joy of Jesus that's available in your county? In your state? There's peace? There's love? Enough love? More than enough? Can He still be your shepherd in another county? Because where I'm at, and at that time I was close to Wichita Falls, I said, hey, there's plenty of His joy here. There's no shortage here. Okay, sometimes I stir people up. But it's to get them to meditate and recognize where we're not and where we can be. So I hope that my joy or my faith or my hope doesn't offend you. But if it does, let me just say, I cannot join you in corn virus mully grubs. I can't do it. I won't. Okay? I can't join you in sad sack sadness. I want to tell you the most common response when I call people. Hey, hallelujah, praise the Lord, how you doing? Well, I'm surviving. Well, we're just making it. Well, why? We don't have to settle for that. There's a whole lot more that Jesus has for us than just sad sack sadness surviving. Okay? That's the way the world responds. It doesn't disturb me that the world responds that way. They don't have the shepherd. They don't know the shepherd. They're not able to receive from the shepherd. But believers are not just human. We're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We're complete in the Lord. There's a power source within us which is able to do abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. He is the source of the water of life springing forth in us. He is in us. And so we're not just a regular human. We're a new creation in Christ. And we have available all that He paid for. Somebody say amen. So, I can't agree with you. Now look, I can reach down there and hug you. And if you're suffering, I can have compassion because I've been there. But I'm not going to go there. I'm going to try to exhort you and encourage you and bring you up. I can't go down with you, down there with you and hang out there. Because if I did, we'd both be wrong. Well, there you are. Okay, I think I covered that. Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, the law of our new being, this is a new life, has freed me. Do you understand that you're free because of Jesus? We don't have to settle from the law of sin and death anymore. We don't have to be under the law of sin and death anymore. The fruit of sin and death doesn't have to be the dominant fruit in our life anymore. Because of Jesus, we've been forgiven and we've been set free from that. Wow, that's great news. And so what I'm saying to you is don't accept it. We declare that these manifestations of death in our journey, this kind of fruit, well, you know what? If you're more aware of the fruit of death in your life than the fruit of spirit life in your life, you're drinking the wrong water. You're not drinking from the living water. You're drinking polluted water. Well, that was good for me. So what water are you drinking from? Really? Let me say it in a very simple way that Children's Church could get. Has the Holy Ghost left you? No. Let me announce, He has not, because He promised that He would never, 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 never leave us, nor even relax His hold on us. He's still with you. And what the Bible says, that He has not given us a spirit of fear. The world is afraid. That's okay. We understand that. They don't have Jesus. But the Jesus has given us the spirit of love and of power and of a peaceful mind. That is biblical reality that we can practice and that we can receive. And so this is God's viewpoint. This is Bible viewpoint that we've already won and the enemy is already defeated. And I want to tell you, we have the victory in us because Jesus is in us. And so what we're learning in this series is how to manifest, how to reinforce the authority that God's given us for the victory that He paid for us. It doesn't mean that we ever come to a place where we don't have conflict. You see, victory, it doesn't mean, peace doesn't mean absence of conflict. Okay, it's victory in the midst. He prepares a table before us in the very presence while we're surrounded by our enemies. And so there's victory in Jesus. And the enemy's already defeated. Now, I believe this so much, and it has to do with our identity, that when wherever you go, the presence of Jesus goes. Well, that's what the Bible says. He dwells in us. And so what you are, literally, and you got to see yourself this way, the way God sees you, is that you are a living, walking, mobile worship center where the presence of God dwells and is activated and wants to manifest wherever you go. Wherever you go. When I walk into a home, I walk in and speak peace to that home, and I minister the peace of Jesus to that home, because a lot of times there's dis-ease in the heart, dis-ease in the soul. And a lot of times, dis-ease in the soul can bring dis-ease in the body. You understand how that works? And so Jesus wants our soul to prosper. And that's priority. And if our soul is prospering, then according to a prayer that was prayed, the will of God for us, then not only will our bodies prosper, but everything else will prosper. And so what you are is a walking worship center of the presence of Jesus. And so wherever you go, the Spirit of the Lord is there with you to minister. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and so we don't have to passively accept defeat. We have the badge of authority. For example, I'll tell you this. This may stretch you a little bit, so it's just okay for you to think on and meditate on this week. But I literally believe and try to teach other people that when you walk into a store, hey, the favor of God goes with you. Hey, Psalm 23 says that His blessing, His goodness, His mercy, His loving kindness follows me wherever I go. That's what the Bible says. That's manifestation of the fruit of the shepherd in your life. And so I really believe and teach people that when you walk into a store, the favor of God goes with you. Let me make it like this. When you walk into a store, that store is blessed because you're there. I got Rich here this morning. He operates an auto shop, and man, it's a great atmosphere there. He talks about Jesus all during the day, loves on customers, talks about Jesus. It's a great place to go. Sometimes I want to go hang out there when I don't have a need with a vehicle. It's so nice. But I want to tell you what's really precious. He talks about Jesus. There's been times that I've shown up because I like to go early and I'm the first one there and the bays are empty. And I've even encouraged them and mentioned it a few times. Hey, it won't be for long. Because you know why? Wherever you go, the blessing, loving kindness, the favor, the mercy of God goes with you. The blessing of the Lord follows you. And I want to tell you, you can ask Him. He's here today, but you could ask Him that it doesn't take but a few minutes till all of a sudden the parking lot's full. Isn't that amazing? Are you shocked by that? No. I tell people at the store, hey, you know, when I'm talking to them and they work at the store, I say, are you a believer? You know, do you get commission on what you do here, or is it just a regular salary? And I tell them, I say, man, you pray and thank the Lord for His blessing and favor. You enjoy your shepherd, and you watch the shepherd bless your business. Well, I really believe that wherever you go, that the identity of Jesus goes with you. Romans 8:37. Would you mark this one down? Because I've just got a few minutes, and I want to cover this. Romans 8:37, yet amid all these things, we could mark the calendar on that. This fits for 2020. Wow. Yet amid all these things, we suffer like the world suffers. We're sad like the world's sad. We're depressed like the world's depressed. We don't have any hope because, no. Yet amid all these things, we who know Christ, who are in Christ and Christ is in us, we are more than conquerors. Now, if you're a more than conqueror, that's an overwhelming victory. That's who you are. You're a victorious one. Hello, more than conqueror. We are more than conquerors, and we gain a surpassing victory through Him who loved us. Now, I don't know if you know what surpassing victory looks like, but you need to meditate on that. Because that's God's heart and God's desire for your life. Because especially for that battle that the enemy tells you you'll never win it, you'll never overcome it, you'll be like this the rest of your life, this is a part of your family heritage, or this is because of a mistake you made, you'll be cursed for this the rest of your life. No, 1,000 times no. Jesus won the victory for your freedom, for your liberty, for your victory. And He wants to gain a surpassing victory. You can do this through Him. Why? It's all because He loves you. It's not because of you. It's in spite of us. It's because of Him. Because He loves you. Now look, we're victors. And so, you know what? When you identify problems, you see the victory of Jesus. You need to do that. I tell people this, and let me just stretch you a little bit. This will give you something else to think about this week. I really believe that corn virus is scared of those who know their spiritual authority in Christ. Oh, Brother Tim, what are you saying? I'm saying corn virus is allergic to you if you know your authority in Christ. Now, boy, that's a different perspective, isn't it? Well, you say, why do you say it? Well, I've been saying for over a year, I've been telling the saints, especially at our prayer meeting, at our Mountain Movers meeting, that you know what? Cancer cells fear thee. Why do you say that? Well, His name is above every name. He paid for our divine protection. We saw it in Psalm 91. We saw in Psalm 23 that He cares for us. He feeds us. He guides us. He restores and refreshes our soul. His goodness and His blessing and His mercy follows us. And I'm telling you, this is Bible. This is a Bible mindset. And you can't walk around fearing cancer. Cancer fears you if you know your authority in Christ. Well, that's a different mindset. Now, when you're submitting to God, very important, and resisting the enemy, he doesn't always flee at the first word. And so let me announce to you, don't be defeated because of that. You know what the Bible honors? The Bible honors perseverance. Okay, man doesn't think about it much anymore. They want instant this, instant that. But the Bible honors perseverance. It means that you take a stand and you do all this, all you can do to stand, and you trust and rely on the Lord, and you say what God says, and you believe and have faith for a victorious result, and watch what God does. Perseverance. Rejoice in victory. I want to tell you, there will come a place in this battle, because I've been there a number of times. I've got other people here that have been there a number of times. It'll come to a place as you're persevering to resist, continue to resist the enemy, that the Holy Spirit will witness to you, the Bible will confirm to you, Holy Spirit will witness in you that it's done. I don't know how to explain it, but He says, it's done, it's accomplished, the victory is won. And so when you receive that by faith, then your role then is to practice the spiritual weapon of praise and thanksgiving. And you know what? Your part then is just to celebrate the victory of the Lord even before you see it with your physical eyes. I'm convinced that we got to see it on the inside before we see it on the outside. Well, it'll be something to think about this week. And so, but our part is to be convinced. Are you convinced? Or are you allowing doubt, speculation, and unbelief to rob you, to weaken your faith? So it's very, very important. So I'm saying the battle's not over till we win. If we don't quit, we win. Victory's on the way. Jesus is our Sabbath. And what I mean by that is that the Bible talks about us coming to a place of rest. And the place of rest, or Jesus is our Sabbath, means that we come to a place where we believe God. We come to the place where we trust and believe God in this matter. That's the place of rest. Now, some people, as I said earlier, think that peace means the absence of conflict. I actually have had to coach a few people that say, well, Papa T, I tell you, I'm just going to be at peace. I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to do anything about it. I'm just know that God's going to work it all out in the end, and it's just going to be okay, so I'm not doing it. No, that's not what peace is. You're looking for absence of conflict. I want to tell you, first we experience the rest of the Lord, where we come. Now, there's a battle to get there sometime, because it's the battle between the eras. And so we come to the place of rest. But once you get there, you receive the peace of the Lord, and then you go battle from peace. Wait, that's important. We're not battling to peace, we're battling from peace. You're not battling to love, you're battling from love. You're not battling to joy, you're battling from joy. Are you getting the picture? And so here you are with your shepherd, and you're receiving the joy and the peace and the Lord and the love of the Lord. And that's when you, by faith, you've submitted to God, you resist the enemy and he flees. And so that's a very, very important point, that we're coming from peace, not to peace. We're coming from victory, not to victory. You understand? Do you see that? Well, it makes a big difference in your approach. And so we battle from this to victory. Now, I want to just say this, because I want to encourage you that this is not complicated. This is not complicated. Don't make it complicated. I want to tell you, he's given us the Holy Spirit to is your personal coach that will coach you through this. The Lord has gained our momentum. I don't know if you know anything about sports, but when momentum is on your side, it's almost like you can't do anything wrong. And the victory is almost effortless. And I want to tell you, that's the way it is for us. Jesus won the victory on the cross, and so we have the momentum of the Holy Spirit carrying it forth. He's never cut that off. That's for us. I'll tell you what it's called in Scripture is abundant life. Abundant living. He come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. This is part of what he paid for us. And so we can have this overwhelming momentum that we carry in off the Lord's victory. We get to get in on it. We just need to enforce it. And we have his name. It's a weapon of warfare. We have his word is a weapon of warfare. We have his name is a weapon of warfare. And his name is not just J-E-S-U-S. We can get hire a Boy Scout to repeat that name. It's more than that. It means all that he is and all that he says is what he is. And so I'm telling you, it's a way of knowing him. But when we use his name from union and oneness with him, from his position he's given us, there's authority in that. Anybody can go out on the street and say stop. But when you have a badge of authority and you go out and say stop, there's a difference. Okay, I hope you understand that. Well, I want you to encourage you to join us next week. Because next week we're going to get into exercising your faith, your authority, and how to use your spiritual weapons to conquer the first battlefield. And the first battlefield is between the eras. It's in the mind. It's the battle of the mind. But when you win the battle of the mind by using the Word of God and the authority that God's given you, and you win the battle of the mind, you'll see a lot of victories outside of your mind. But if you don't win the battle of the mind, your life is going to be like the Texas Giant roller coaster. It's going to be a lot of up and down and turning around. And so there's a big difference in that, and we want you to experience the victory that Jesus paid for, and he's given us spiritual weapons that have authority to tear down strongholds. You say, I've thought this way my whole life. There's freedom for you. Because he's brought about, he come to set the captives free. And when you get free in your mind from these old way thoughts, these flesh thoughts, these losing thoughts, this victim mentality, and you overcome the battle in the mind, you're going to see so much victory on the outside, you're going to say, where has this been all my life? Well, it's been right here, and it's been right here in the Word of God. But now's the time. It's a new season. Amen? And so we got exciting days to look forward to. I'm praying for you right now. Father, in Jesus' name, we just pray that the eyes and the ears will be open. That, Lord, that the challenging words or challenging thoughts will cause us to seek you, will cause us to listen to you, will cause us to get confirmation from your word that this is what you're saying and this is what you want. Lord, I know a lot of times we hear a yes in our spirit, but our mind doesn't understand. But we trust in you to help us with your word. Holy Spirit, come and be our coach. Help us renew our mind. And Lord, where we need to repent and change our mind, we repent. And Lord, we trust in you to walk us into the victory that you paid for. Lord, we say yes to you with our life in Jesus' name. And all the saints said, amen. Thank you for joining us today. We bless you. Thank you. We'll see you next week.